This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25 and 26. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" That last phrase is what captivated me the last couple of days. Are ye not much better than they? What Jesus is saying here, he's at the Sermon on the Mount in Israel. He is on a plain called the Plain of Gennesaret, which is right to the left side of the Sea of Galilee. It is a place that Josephus said is the marvel of God's creation in Israel. Jesus is there talking, and he's giving out this chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7. What a lot of us know as the Beatitudes. Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. Here in this portion of Scripture, what Jesus is saying is this. Don't spend your life working for money. Don't spend your life working for fame. He said, don't spend your life worrying about things, child of God. Why? What are we supposed to spend our life at? He answers it in verse number 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What Jesus is saying is this. If you follow God, he'll take care of your food. You follow God, he'll take care of your clothing. You follow God, he'll take care of where you're going to sleep. No, you will not have an episode on MTV Cribs, and you will probably never make the Gucci magazine. But I'm going to tell you something. I've eaten big dollar food, and I've eaten little dollar food, and I'm pretty sure I feel about the same after it's all said and done. Hamburgers, cheeseburgers, and fillets all do the same thing. They fill you up, and they give you something to complain about. I don't feel good. I've said the same thing after a $200 meal and the same thing after a $3 meal. Why? Because life is not about fame. It's about a person. Now you remember this. When Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, who is he talking to? He's out where we would call the boondocks, the country. For you city slickers, out yonder is where he's at. There are no white collar workers. Everybody that Jesus is talking to is a redneck. For lack of a better term. You know what that means? They're like most other rednecks. They work hard and they pretty much live a meager life. They're not driving $5 million cars and living in $5 million houses. They're driving normal stuff, living in normal places. And just like most people today, what you're thinking whenever the preacher gets up and you say, oh yeah, real spiritual preacher. Yeah, that's real spiritual. Yeah, don't worry about your food. Then how are we going to eat? Because like these people, they live from harvest to harvest, season to season, crop to crop. And you're telling me, Jesus, don't worry. Don't spend my life stressed out over this stuff. How can you tell me that? And Jesus looks at him and says this. The sparrows of the air, God takes care of them. Are ye not much better than they are? Let me put it in vernacular that you and I understand in Guilford County. He's saying, you matter to the master. You matter to God. I couldn't get this out of my mind as I was rolling the other day in my car and as I was thinking, as I was pondering. You matter to the master. You matter to God. You matter to your Father in heaven. You matter to the King of glory. You matter to God. How do you know that, preacher? Jesus said, you see those robins and you see those Orioles. You see those birds, cardinals, blue jays, blackbirds, vultures, eagles. You see, the birds of the air, not one time have they ever planted a field. Not one time have they ever harvested a field. But not one time have they ever lacked for a meal. He said, if God takes care of those animals, are ye not much greater and much better than those animals of the field? That phrase, much better, it means to have a mark of distinction. It means to have a higher level. It means to be of a more excellent demeanor. Here's what God is saying through Jesus. He says, you are much more important. You have a more excellent value. And if God takes care of the rabbit, and if God has helped the dog, and if God has given the fish food, and if God has taken care of a whale, and if God has taken care of the shark, and if God takes care of the mouse of the field, and if God takes care of the snake on its belly, and if God takes care of that little hamster and that stupid wheel that you've got in your house, and your house smells like a barnyard, if God takes care of all those, if God takes care of your little Fido or your little Fifi, he's not taking care of your cat. That cat's going to hell. Say amen right there. Here's what I'm telling you. God takes care of the animals, and God takes care of the birds of the air. And Jesus said, if God takes care of the animals of the field, and if God takes care of the birds of the heaven, every single child of God is of much greater value than the birds of the field and the cows in the field. He said, you matter to the master. Why would I preach on that? What's got this on my heart? I'll tell you why. Because the other night, a woman with billions of dollars took a red scarf, wrapped it around her neck, and hung herself in her bathroom. The other day, a man who was one of the most world-renowned chefs in all the world took the rope out of his bathroom robe and wrapped it around his neck, and his friend found him hung in his back. What makes a person that looks like they have everything do that? I'll tell you why. It's not hard. Somewhere in their journey, they figured out or thought, it doesn't matter if I live or die. I don't matter to anyone. There are people in this room, I promise you, I saw it at 9:30, I'm seeing it right now. There are people in this room, the devil has convinced you, child of God, that God doesn't care about you and God doesn't love you. If God cared about you, if God loved you, why'd you go through this? Why'd you have to deal with that? Why'd you have to go there? Why did you have to feel that? What God wants to remind you, if he cares about the birds, you matter so much more to the master, child of God. You matter to the master. You are not valueless. You do not have just some aimless flow through life. You matter to the master. Now hear what I did not say. I did not say you matter. How many of you hate grocery shopping with your spouse? Me too. In fact, we don't do it. In fact, the last time we did it, we almost filed for a divorce. One reason I'm glad we don't go grocery shopping together anymore, my wife takes care of all that. I can't stand self-help books. I despise them. You walk by that magazine aisle, and you look at that magazine, and that joker looks like he's got a 19-pack of something up under there, and I'm saying I could cut out everything I've ever eaten. God knows I'd never look like that. Do you know why? Because there ain't enough Photoshops to make that look like that. Y'all know what I'm saying? Am I talking to anybody else in this place? Don't look at me, Austin. You ain't going to look like that in 15 years. Say amen right there. You get married, brother, she's going to throw in them Krispy Kremes. You're going to look like this right here. You're going to be wearing a vest too, but this ain't no vest. This is a girdle. Say amen. Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. 10 ways to have a better walk. Pretty sure I ain't read the magazine. I've been walking for 32 and one half years, going from point A to point B just fine. Self-help. We live in a self-help generation. You know the problem is there's more self-help books ever been than has ever been, and we're in worse shape than we've ever been. Can I tell you what the Bible says about man? Remember, you don't matter. Remember what I said. Let me tell you what the Bible says about man, humanity. Number one, the Bible says we are dirt. Dirt. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says, from dust you came, and to the dust you shall return. Do you know what I have found about everybody that I've ever buried at funerals? If I open up their casket in 100 years, you know what they're going to look like? Dirt. Rich people, poor people. You know what they all look like? Dirt. Fat people, skinny people. You know what they all look like? Dirt. Old people, young people. You know what they all turn into when they're dead? Dirt. You see, we find our value in how big we are, and how this we are, how rich we are, how big our job is. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand, the lawyer and the doctor and the preacher and the trash man and the policeman and the fireman and everybody else in between, when you're dead, you're nothing more than a pile of dirt. Feeling good this morning? Thought you would. Number two, you know what else the Bible says about mankind? Man is not only dirt, man is depraved. Jeremiah 17, verse number 9, the Bible says, who can know the heart? For it is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. You know what the Bible says about your heart? It's as wicked as the devil himself. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, if I know my heart, I know your heart, and it's depraved. You see, we want to think we're great people, we're good people at the core of who you are. You're the only one who knows how dirty, depraved, cursed. There are people in here, if you knew the thoughts of my heart and mind, you would think he's the devil himself. And you know what? I'm looking in the mirror too. Because we're all just depraved, dead sinners. Number three, man's not only dirt, depraved, but we're doomed. Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse number 8, the Bible says, and all those names who were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast alive into the lake of fire. You ready for this? You came from nothing as a pile of dirt. You're going to go to nothing as a pile of dirt. You're going to resurrect as a pile of dirt, turn back into a body, and then be cast alive into the lake of fire. Life's looking pretty good, isn't it? That's why it is so foolish for us to find value in human things. Amen. Foolish. Crazy. But remember, what did I say? I didn't say you matter. I said you matter to the Master. You don't matter, but you do matter to the Master. You know one thing I can't stand? You know, I told the 9:30 service, I do a lot of counseling. I counsel a lot of people. But I feel like when I'm preaching to y'all, I can just let my heart out and y'all counsel me. You counsel with your tears. You counsel with your laugh. You counsel by just looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. You just counsel me. So let me just talk to you. You know one thing I can't stand? Babysitting. I don't even want to watch my own youngins. I ain't watching your youngins. And while I'm on this little trip, let me just say, it ain't natural for any man to want to watch youngins. And let me take a step further. They ain't no men going to be working in our nursery. You feeling me on that one? You feeling me on that one? That ain't natural. It ain't good. And if you feeling that, you need to feel your way on out the dough, because it ain't happening. All right? We're having ladies take care of those babies. You feeling me on that? Okay? We're good on that. All right? Have no idea how I got off on that, but I'm feeling pretty good about the whole thing right now. One day, my wife, now she knows, she knows how I am. She is a saint of a woman. Y'all all know that. But one day, she decided to be a help. Y'all all know Katie and Chad over here, right? They've got this little girl, and her name is Paisley. Now, she's an only child. Y'all know what I mean by that. Katie and Chad had something they had to do, and they couldn't find anybody else to watch them and watch Paisley. And so my wife, I'll watch him. Watch her. Say what? Well, I found out what day that, by the way, two sets of grandparents, cousins, aunts, and uncles, and that's the best you got? Y'all killing me. Anyways, so I found out what day Paisley was coming. And I found out that was the day God wanted me to seek him in the wilderness. So I go, and I stayed gone all, I mean, I lined up hospital visits. I went and visited the nursing home. Me and Bob fasted and prayed. I mean, I did everything. But it was Wednesday, and I wasn't preaching revival that week, so I had church that night. So I had to come home. And I figured 4:45, I could get home, and that kid would be gone. And I was hoping they took my two with them, but they didn't. I go into my house, and I go in so quiet. I mean, I'm like a ninja. Because I'm thinking, if they didn't hear me and that kid's still here, I'm going to turn around and go. Well, I walk in. And those kids have got like the hearing of turkeys or deer. Or something. I mean, they can hear anything. But I count and I'm like, 1, 2, 3, Erica. I'm like, that kid is still here. Well, Erica said, oh, I just told him we'd bring her to church. Well, isn't that lovely of you? All of a sudden, Chad, you know what my wife says? Honey, can you watch them? I need to get a shower. No, I cannot. She hops like a gazelle going into the bathroom. And here I sit with these three kids. And look, here's the thing. If they get out of hand, I can only tear the tail up on two of them. What am I going to do? Anyways, I'm looking and I can't stand clutter. It tears. I'm that guy, if you leave your McDonald's cup in my car, I'm going to hack you. I can't stand it. It tears my ever-loving nerves up. Well, man, I look over there, and laying beside little Paisley is this, like, ratty, tattered, like, nasty-looking, dirty. It looks like, be quiet, I'm trying to preach here, Rose. It's like this tattered, looks like a Bounty used paper towel. And I'm like, that kid has wiped her nose. Oh. And I'm like, I'm getting my sleeve. And I go down there and I pick that thing up and I take it and I'm going to the trash can. All of it. Bunch of hypocrites. And all of a sudden, that little thing turned into the Exorcist. Like her head just like cocked sideways. And all of a sudden she said, none. And I just stopped frozen. None. I stopped frozen in my tracks. She is screaming. None. I went, Erica! Erica comes running out, wraps herself in a towel. She's drenched, dripping wet. She said, what's wrong? I said, that youngin' right there speaking in tongues. I don't know what she's saying. And I, in my hand, I've got that little thing, this little nasty whatever. It's like, Erica goes, that's her comfort toy. Whatever. She's screaming. Erica takes Nun and gives it back to her, and she stops crying. And I stood over right here, and I just said, that ratty, tattered little toy called Nun is useless, but it matters to her. You see, the world looks at you, child of God, and says you're just a waste. You're useless, you're good for nothing, you're ratty, you're tattered, you have no purpose, you have no goodness, you have no life, and the devil comes by your way and start, I feel like preaching right now, and comes around your way and starts snooping at your life, telling it's going to fall apart, telling it's good for nothing. All of a sudden, the Godhead stands up on the throne, and Jesus steps off the throne and says, no! Oh, that's my nun. They may look like nothing to you. They may look useless to you. They may look tattered to you. But I died for that child. That's my child. You can't have that child. It matters to me. They're important to me. I tell you, child of God, you may not matter to anybody in the world. But lift your eyes up to the heavenlies, because there's somebody sitting on the throne that feels like you matter and believes you matter. You may not matter to anybody, but you matter to the Master. How do I know? Very quickly, shotgun preaching, three things. Write them down. Do whatever you with one. How do I know you matter to the Master? Number one, the scars in the hands of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, right now you go into heaven, you won't find any 2x4s. You won't find any sheetrock, but you will find something that man has made. Man has never built a mansion in heaven. Man has never paved a road in heaven. Man has never laid a sidewalk in heaven. Man's never planted a tree in heaven. Man has never put a flower in the garden beds of heaven. But in the hands of Jesus Christ, there is something that man did put there. It's called scars, because in those scars were the nails, and in those nails flowed out blood, the blood of the crucified Lamb of God. Do you know why he died? He died because you deserve to die, and I deserve to die. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was dead in my filth. I was dead in my rebellion against God. But one day God Almighty stepped off the throne of heaven, condescended down into the little virgin womb of a girl named Mary. He was born of flesh, but he was God in the flesh. And as he lived 33 1/2 perfect years, never saying a vile word, never having a rough thought, never having a contrite mindset, he died on Calvary's hill. And because he became sin for you who knew no sin, now you that know sin make know him the righteousness of God. Because righteousness became sin, sin can become righteousness. And because life died, now that which is dead can have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Why would Jesus die for you? I'll tell you why. Because he loved you. You know what? Jesus never died for a bird. Jesus never died for a dog. Jesus sure didn't die for no stupid cat. But Jesus never died for an animal. But he did die for humanity. Do you know why? Because he didn't love the cat more than he loved his own nature. He didn't love the dog more than he loved his own self. He didn't love the prairie. He did not love the deer or the gazelle more than he loved his own heart. But when he saw man, and he created man in the Garden of Eden, and breathed into man the breath of life, honey, as that man walked around, God's heartstrings were pulled after that man. And when God looked at that man fallen, he said, I love that man, Lord, more than I love myself. And God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know why he died? Because you matter to the Master. That's why he died. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever died for a dog? No. But how many parents wouldn't have to think and say, I'd die for my children? Yeah. You know why? Because you love them more than you love your own self. And that's how Jesus felt about every one of his children. He died because he loved. How do I know that you matter to the Master? The scars in the hands of Jesus. Number two, I know you matter to the Master because of the story of the grace of God in your life. Amen. I tell you something. The other day I was in the car with Jason Daldale. We were going up to the tent. I was going to pray. And, you know, I'm not a good driver. I don't enjoy driving. It's too much to pay attention to, and that just doesn't work well for people like me. But I was riding with Jason the other day, and it gives me time to think. And I was thinking the other day, all the times in my life, the devil tried to sidetrack me. The devil tried to pull me aside. The devil tried to destroy me. And it wasn't of any good of my own. I cannot tell you how many times I willingly chose to do wrong. And yet here I stand. There are people in this room right now, you can look back over the course of your life at all the dumb mistakes you and I have all made. But here we sit. Do you know how you got here? It's not because you're wise. It's not because you made right decisions. It's not because you're a good person. Remember what I told you about? We're all just a bunch of dead dirt that's doomed to hell. But here's what I know. I know that there's a God in heaven that is sovereignly, or don't let that word scare you, sovereignly. God is in control of all things. There are people in this room right now, and you have struggled so very much with who you are and where you've been and how you've acted, and you were about ready to throw in the towel, and some preacher that's been gone for 2 weeks stood up and said, I'm going to take my text today, and my title is, You Matter to the Master. And you sit back and say, gee, I wonder why he's preaching. I'll tell you why I'm preaching on this, because God spoke it into my heart. Because he's been down at your house, and he's been in your closet, and he's been in your car, and he knows how the devil's beat you down. He knows how you've been feeling. He knows how you're wondering, and he knows that you still matter. Look at all the places God puts you back on track. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm one of those guys, if I see a turtle cross, I read an article the other day, stop and help the turtles cross the road. No. I am not getting out on Wendover Avenue to help some stupid turtle cross some stupid road. I will not purposely hit the turtle, but I also will not purposely let myself be hit by a Mack truck either. I'm not going to help that thing navigate traffic. If you love animals, ain't no need walking out past me by the door. I'll probably hurt your feelings before the whole thing's over. I eat meat. I love meat. I'm going to keep on eating meat. Okay. I don't help turtles cross roads. Why? It's just not worth it. But you know, I would never let a child or a human, as they're stumbling along, try to get across. I'd stop my car. I'd throw it in park. I'd rush out of that car. I'd dodge traffic. I would go around anything I could to help that. Why? Because they matter. You know, God has taken your life and has guided it all along this journey. Amen. Why would he do that? Because you matter to the Master. You matter to the Master. I'm done, Brother Scott. I'm done. There's one more I wrote down on how I know you matter to the Master. The scars in the hands of Jesus, the story of the grace on your life, the grace of God on your life, but then the stewardship of your life. Child of God, you understand, the day you got saved, you gave up all rights to your life. You have no control over who you are. Your hand and fate is in the hands of God Almighty. You do what God says to do, you go where God says to go, and that's what you do. You are not your own. You know, there are people in this room that are about that close to just quitting the whole thing. Just about that close. Throwing in the towel. It's not worth being married anymore. It's not worth the kid. It's not worth the church. It's not worth the... You're about that close. About that close. You know, it sure would be a shame to throw in the towel on a God that loves you as much as he loves you. Sure would be a shame. Sure would be a shame to throw in the towel on those youngins that I'm pretty sure you're their only hope to get to church. I'm pretty sure you're the only light and salt in that little area you're in. I'm pretty sure. But you're that close. I'm gonna tell you something. Some of you are about that close. Stop praying. You're about that close. Stop doing right. Just that close. Thank you. Somebody in here may be that close to taking the red scarf. Just saying, it's not worth it anymore. I don't matter. No. The fact of the matter is, the devil's told you a half lie and a half truth. He's told you you don't matter, and he's right. We don't matter. We're just a bunch of dirt. But God looks at all of us like little nun-nuns. And he says, you matter to me. Mama, you throw in the towel. I doubt them youngins have ever said, Mama, thank you for that Capri Sun. Thank you. Thank you for that Lunchable. But I promise you, you walk out the door, you're going to see little tears and little eyes. And they may not know how to express it, but you know what they're thinking. But Mama, you mattered to me. You can go ahead and pack your stuff up and go leave the church. And it may take a few weeks. And you go one, nobody called, I guess I didn't matter. You know, after a while we're going to notice somebody's not sitting there. That spot in the choir, it was empty. You know why? Because you matter. You matter. You matter to the Master. Tell you something. God will break you so low. He'll destroy you, and it feels like he's running your face in the dirt, and it just feels like he's doing, just messing the whole thing up. And then all of a sudden, God himself will take you, dirty, tattered, feeling like you're destroyed, and will wrap you in his arms. You know why? Because if you looked valuable and God held you, you would say something to the effect of, God's holding me because I'm worth something. But when you've been tattered and destroyed and God holds you close, you know what you say? Lord, I'm not even worthy to touch the hem of your garment. You matter to the Master.